Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
You guys, I really do. And it's moments like this that the heart just pumps for our family. I love who we are. I love what the Lord leads us through, and I love that He lets us do it together with one another. Living on an island is lonely. It gets dark. It gets, there's delusionment, discouragement, depression whenever we live alone. And to live in the light and to live in fellowship with one another is where Jesus just brings so much healing. How many of y'all know just so much healing can take place in life-giving relationships? You can get healed in the village. You can get healed in the tribe. So I just want to encourage you to lean in close to the church family. If you can grab your bulletins, go ahead and grab your bulletin. If you did not get one, we have a couple more inserts. Inside the bulletin, there's an insert that we're going to kind of work through a little bit today. It looks like this: reframe, reclaim, and rename. There's just something about having something new. Can you all agree with me that getting something new, there's an enjoyment that comes with that? There's just changing it up. For me, one of the things that I love getting something new is a new pair of socks. I love putting on a new pair of socks because it's the thickest that they're ever going to be. Because once I start stomping around on them, they're going to get squashed down and kind of thin, worn out. My heels are poking through. My painted toenails are popping through. And I'll continue to wear them until my wife eventually throws them away. But I love brand new socks. I dare you, just go ahead and put on a brand new pair of socks. They feel phenomenal. Or cracking open a brand new book or a Bible. There's just something that I absolutely love about that. The sound of the pages actually separating. The smell of the pages. I might be weird for the second time after the painted toenails that I smell my books. I love the smell of them. Or perhaps it's purchasing that new workout equipment, and the best part of it is purchasing it. Because you know, you've got this dream and this idea of who you're going to become, and the Arnold Schwarzenegger inside of you is just waiting to awaken and to come alive. You're going to become something that you've never been before because you made a purchase. You got something new. Discipline never changed, but at least you now have a utensil to help get you where you want to go. There's just something to be said about new, and equally, there's something to be said about old. There are some of those old classics, I believe, that still serve us well today. That old hammer and screwdriver passed down from your grandfather, it just still gets the job done. And you can almost feel his hand wrap around yours as you're using that old classic. Those old blue jeans that are just now starting to get broken in 15 years later, and you've washed them about 15 times if you're a man in our men's group. I know, because I see what they wear. Or that old record, maybe, on vinyl, The Unchained Melody by the Righteous Brothers. Trust me, that still gets the job done. Huh, LD? You know what I mean. It still gets the job done, some of those old classics. However, with that said, sometimes those old need to be exchanged for a new. And sometimes those old ways of thinking, maybe those old storylines we continue to live, and those old headlines that mark our lives, they need to be changed out for something new. That old pair of socks, there's nothing like getting a brand new pair. And so the great exchange is where we want to get to this morning. Anybody ever heard the phrase that there's something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue? You remember that going into your wedding? You were having both, the old and the new, something borrowed, something blue, all that stuff together. And I believe that we have a mixture of all of those things. But Jesus says when you come to Him, the old is gone and the new has come. And the old man dies and there's a new man that comes alive inside of us. And so let's partner with the thinking of Jesus. And what are the old things that Jesus is just saying, no more? That's not the way I think. That's not the way I operate. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9 would say that my thoughts are not your thoughts, declares the Lord, nor are my ways your ways. As the heavens are above the earth, and no one knows how high that is. So are my thoughts and my ways so much farther beyond yours. And so I want to start thinking with the mind of God and think with the mind of Christ. Jesus, how do you think about these old ways and patterns of thinking? Because there's certain ways I just constantly go back to. It's like Pavlov's dog. Like I hear the bell and I start getting hungry. I'm salivating. I just go back to these old ways. Something has hijacked my thinking. I just continue to do what I've always done. And when we continue to do what we've always done and we continue to lead the lives that we've always lived and we continue to end up in these displaced realities that are so far from the heart of God, the Bible, the dictionary, ourselves would call that insanity. And so let's move from insanity to maybe the most sane thing that we can do, and the most sane thing we can do is change some of those things, to change some of those realities. Perhaps it's been some old nicknames that were given to you, and they were kind of fun. It was Bud, like Buddy, or I like Lewis. Or maybe it was Junior, or it was Sister, or whatever your little nickname was, and those have been fun, but there's probably been some other names that have been attached to you, and people say you're too slow, you're too small, you're too big, you're too fat, you're too dumb. You'll never amount to anything. And they'll just not only give you the name, but then they'll play out the storyline. Here's what the next 20 years look like for you, and you'll never amount to anything. You're going to be just like your dad. And these prophetic words latch onto us, and they're old, and they're broken, and they hijacked our minds, and we began to live out the storyline and the names that were given to us. And man, the enemy, I hate him. I hate Satan. And he's not smart. He's an idiot. But he's really old. And he's really old, and he just knows what works. And he knows how our minds can get hijacked so quickly. And he wants to hijack these old ways of thinking and continue to remind yourself of who you're not. And remind yourself of your failures. And rather than to replay a better storyline, whenever Jesus takes all things that are old, he makes them all new, he just wants to constantly replay the old. Anybody really good at telling yourselves all of your losses? Man, I remember that loss. I remember that defeat. I want to replay that one again. Let me tell myself that. And we live with these sick bellies where I'm just aching full of regret. And if he can get the bride of Christ to live and operate and move full of regret, he wins. Where we don't fully come into the freedom and the liberty, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom and there's liberty. Where we walk into the presence of Jesus, where there's fullness of joy and at his right hand is pleasure forevermore. We never walk into that reality. We just kind of feel occasionally like we're forgiven, and then we just have to pay the consequence for the rest of our life. And whether there's any legal consequence, what I mean is just the mental beating up of ourselves for the rest of our lives. And I just don't know that was the bargain at the cross. I believe he wants to make all things new. And he wants to give us a new way of thinking. He wants to remind us that there is something different. In 1934, there was a pastor by the name of Michael King. He was the pastor of Ebenezer Baptist Church in Atlanta. Pastor Michael gets on a boat with a group of other pastors, and he sails across the Atlantic to Israel to visit the Holy Land. On their way back, they go through Berlin, Germany. While coming through Berlin, they hear the revivalist Martin Luther preaching the Word of God. Pastor Michael was so moved by this message by Martin Luther, and he connected with the message of civil and social justice, that something moved so violently and vibrated within him. That upon his return back to Atlanta, he legally changed his name from Michael King to Martin Luther King. At the same time, he had a namesake, Michael King Jr., who was 5 years old. He went and legally changed his son's name to Martin Luther King Jr. Something happened when he changed his name. Something shifted when he said, no longer does this name fit, because there's something different that now is resonating within me. And it's more than just a name, it's a calling. There's something that God is calling me forward and into. And this old, heavy, weighted down blanket that is just sabotaging my life has just got to go. We have this old quilt in our house that my mom had. She had it wrapped around the Christmas tree forever. And so I remember when that quilt came out, you know what it meant? Pavlov's dog. It's Christmas. Oh my gosh, it's Christmas. The blanket's out. Here comes this quilt, and we're going to wrap it around the tree. Oh my gosh, I'm so fired up. And then I got married, and Alyssa and I got a Christmas tree. Mom, I need that quilt. Can I have this quilt? And so one of the best gifts I've ever gotten in my life is this quilt. And so I got this quilt, and guess what we did? We wrapped it around the blanket. And Alyssa had to frustratingly go through this tradition with me. And then I would want to cover up with the blanket, and then I want to have this blanket out. And slowly the blanket began to break down. And sorry, I called it a blanket. It's a quilt. And my toes would get kind of stuck into the parts that are already ripped, and then you pull it, and that hole, everybody shaking their heads, you know exactly what I'm doing, and you rip off a piece of that patch, and you're like, but it's still going to work, and we're still going to hold on to this thing. And this past Christmas, would you believe, we did not use that old quilt. And Christmas still moved on. It was amazing that it wasn't connected to that. And there might be something old that you're like, man, this thing that went down in my childhood, this thing that whatever happened, that I've just held on to like a comfort blanket. And man, it is torn and tattered and it's not serving me well. Perhaps it's time to have a great exchange where there becomes something, all things become new again. 30 years after that, it was 1934. Now it's 1965. There's a man by the name of Cassius Clay who changes his name and he becomes Muhammad Ali, the greatest boxer of all time. Top three athletes, they say, Michael Jordan, Babe Ruth, and Muhammad Ali. A little bit later, three decades after that, into the 90s, everyone began to change their name, like formerly known as Prince. Y'all with me on that? Or how about Karen Elaine, who is actually Whoopi Goldberg? I got a couple other names written down here. If I tell you the name, let's see if you can get it. Mark Sinclair. You know Vin Diesel wasn't born Vin Diesel. What a cool birth name would that have been? My name's Vin Diesel. Shut up. Mark Sinclair. Silly goose. How about this? Reginald Kenneth Dwight, better known as Elton John. Eric Marlon Bishop, Jamie Foxx. How about this one? Ralph Lifshitz. And I did not mispronounce that. Better known as Ralph Lauren. That was a good name change. How about this one? Olivia Jane Cockburn, or Olivia Wilde. Paul David Hewson, the wild man, front man, crooner for U2, Bono. And then there's this one. Marion Robert Morrison. You can't be the baddest dude in the West if your name is Marion Robert Morrison, until he changes his name and he becomes John Wayne, the Duke, the coolest dude ever, right, to walk in with a little six-shooter. I mean, he's going to tear up this place. There's something that happens, and John Wayne said this. He said, at some point, there comes a time when a man's name no longer fits. And I just want to tell you, church family, there's come a time where that old way, that old name, it just doesn't fit you anymore. That behavior that you're into, that could only come from John Starkey. Was that Larry? Come on, Larry. That was good timing right there. Uh, Larry, that's the new theme song of your life right there. God wants to call out the wild man, the cowboy in you, Larry. I really believe it. That might be my new ringtone. And here's the deal, is God, I just believe this with all my might, is inviting you into who you're supposed to be in him. Just saying, this doesn't fit you anymore. This is not you. This is not what I've died for, to lay my life down, that you would continue to believe this, continue to live this, continue to be bogged down by this. But I've come to heal you. I've come as a great physician to set you free, to liberate your mind, that you don't have to go back to those broken cisterns that no longer will suffice and fill you, that there's a greater and a deeper pleasure that I'm inviting you into. Come on, church family, that the old ways would just go and be gone far from you. There's a new way, that there's a new language, that there's a new way of humor about you. There's a new delight in your entertainment levels. There's a new way that you want to come in and just say, I want to spend my life upon something. And there's a new way that I want to spend my life. And these old ways that just no longer suffice, and they just lead to depression and despondency and despair and isolation and loneliness, that's not working. It's not working. That doesn't work. And I got to say, God, I got to change. He's calling me. This word repent means it's like I just change. I've got to change. And I just hate to make it as simple as this, but we've got to start just deciding to partner along this theology of Jesus. Jesus, help me. And praying, Jesus, come on, help me. I've just got some heaviness here. I got some old addictions. I got some broken thinking. I need some help. I need some supernatural transformation and some help. Maybe some changes. I need a counselor. Maybe I need to change up some counselors. I need to audit the voices in my life, these negative voices that have told me all of these things. I need to shift. I need to flip the script. And perhaps we've played into the script. You were voted. Somebody told you, your whole class told you that you're the class clown. And you just bought into it. You're like, man, nobody takes me serious. All right. I'll just live out the script that you've already written for me. I'll just be the idiot that's just gonna always do the stupid stuff. And you're going to live into those negative words that people have said. You're going to live into, I'm too whatever. It wasn't just rock stars that had a good idea about changing their name. This goes back as old as the Bible. When God begins to change some names. In Revelation chapter 2:17, for all of eternity, he says he's going to give us a new name. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna. And I will give a white stone, and on the white stone is written a new name. No one knows but the one who receives it. God changes Abram into Abraham. In Genesis 17:5, he shall no longer be called Abram. His name shall be Abraham, a father of many generations have I made of him. Sarai into Sarah. Sarah means the queen of princes. Jacob into Israel. The name Jacob means cheater, deceiver, supplanter, heel grabber. And Israel means God's people. In Genesis 32:28, and he says, and he said, your name no more shall be called Jacob. He said, right now, it's a pivot, something's shifting. I'm having an encounter with God. God's gonna see our parents give us names, God gives us identity. And so you've got a name, Dennis, but God said the father of nations is who I'm going to call you. Your parents gave you a name, Mike. I call you coach, but your parents gave you a name, Mike. And he said, you're going to be the lover of this community. And he starts stamping identity upon us. And so I want to start stepping into a new identity, not what Derek called me in school. I want to step into what God has died for me to become. Right? Before the foundations of the earth, there's a new identity. No longer will you be called Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince has power with God and with man, and he has prevailed. He changed Saul into Paul. Saul was torturing and martyring Christians. He was ISIS, tearing down the church. And then we see that Jesus has an encounter with him in Acts chapter 9. He goes on to write 2/3 of the New Testament. And he changes his name from Saul to Paul. Acts 13:9, and Saul, who was called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on Jesus. You see, like Martin Luther King, when we change an identity, we can change a legacy. And if you're going to continue to live out the identity that other naysayers have put on you, you're going to live a bummer legacy. And can I just tell you this? You stepping into the fullness of who God has called you to be is bigger than you. That there's impact on other people's life that are hanging on your faith to get this thing. Your children need you to get a breakthrough. Your grandchildren need you to get this for generations to come. A good man, Proverbs says, thinks about three generations, his children and his children's children. Come on, we need to start thinking with the mind of God, saying, man, gosh, dang it, this old stuff has to go. Jesus, let me help push off all of those things that so easily entangle us that I may run free the race that you've called me to run. I got to run light in those old ways and going back to all those broken sin patterns and going back to all those old addictions and going back to all those identities. That stuff this morning we're going to pray will break off. I know that it sounds weird. It sounds like, well, I got to go through this whole process and like changing my thinking. Yes, and now. It's the kingdom now, and it's the kingdom to come. It is both. Let's go on a process of sanctification, becoming more like Jesus. But let's go on the encounter of conversion today. Let's convert it. Let's shift it. Let's supernaturally have something move where those broken pieces start to get mended, where those things that are off, that are shifted, that God begins to just do a supernatural thing. And he just sets free. I've heard of men that have struggled with pornography for years and years and years, and they love it and delight in it. And in a moment, that whole desire is shifted. They're like, "That there is just not the longing or desire anymore. And I have fought with my strength, leaned on the mighty right arm of the flesh. And I could never. And yet, supernaturally, the Holy Spirit did a work in my life. And the things, like the Apostle Paul said, the things that I want to do, I no longer do. And the things that I used to do, or that I want to do, I no longer do." The shift, right? These things that the old man would just die, and the new man would come alive in us. This is the name that I want to spend a little bit more time on. When Jesus turns Simon into Peter. Simon, this Hebrew word, it means the one who hears, specifically the one who hears the word of God. And Peter, the Hebrew word, which means a rock. Check out this scripture. Simon Peter answered, this is in Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. We've got it here on the slide. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not be able to overpower it." But if you know the story of Peter, just because he got a new name doesn't mean that it fit him immediately. He had to get those new genes broken in. He got a new name, Peter the Rock. I've had a couple cars in my day, and I've not always upgraded, but occasionally have upgraded. Sometimes I get a new car, but it's like going backwards. But sometimes I've got a new car, and it's a step forward. I'm like, oh my gosh, this thing doesn't fit. There are one of these little buttons. Oh, that's just the heat. Okay, I got to figure that thing out. Why is the music not getting louder? I'm sweating like crazy in here. Oh, that's the heater. All these little knobs that are on the steering wheel, and I can move and the volume and the radio and all this sort of stuff. Now I can plug my phone in, and all this stuff comes up. Like, holy cats, AirPlay? Is that what it's called? That's pretty cool. And so there's like, I gotta get this new way of thinking, a new fit. And so Peter gets this encounter with Jesus. "You are the rock." And Peter's like, man, I don't know if this thing is fitting well. I gotta walk into this. And I want to encourage you, let's have the conversion today where he changes. And then let's have the journey of Peter where we walk this thing out and we live into a new name. Look at what Peter had to walk through in Luke chapter 22. Verses 54 through 60, it's Peter denying Jesus. He's up by a fire, and some of the men are challenging him. He walks away, and he wets his leg in front of a schoolgirl. This little girl, she's like, hey, don't you know him? He's like, no, I don't even know her. I'm scared to death. How old are you? I'm 8. Oh, shoot. And he like runs away from this little schoolgirl. There's like somebody else that challenged him. You were with him. He's like, no, I wasn't. I don't know what you're talking about. Denies him 3 times. And now we jump into Luke chapter 22, verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked back at Peter. And Peter remembered the saying of the Lord and how he said to him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. I wonder how many times Peter retold himself this story. Gosh, I was an idiot that night. Why was I hanging out with those people? What was I doing in that car? Anybody remember that? Like, I'm not even the one doing it, but I'm stuck in this car. I shouldn't be here, man. Just me? And he replays this. If there was ever a moment that you wanted to nail it, to step forward, yes, I'm with Jesus, I know him, and you continually lay an egg. And Peter could have told himself this, and told himself this, and told himself this. There's times when we've got to change the headline over our life. And maybe the headline that you want to continually repeat yourself is loser, failure. And you just don't see failure as an event. You see failure as a person. Failure is a person, and that's who I am. And abandoned and not prized or delighted in or left behind. That whole season was just forgotten and walked out on. And we put these massive headlines over this story. And Peter potentially could have had a pretty big story, a pretty big headline over a story. At this point, I believe Jesus needed to reframe Peter's headline. And on that little piece of paper that we've got, what are the reframing of the headlines that maybe Jesus wants to do? Peter could have had a few headlines. Loudmouth Peter gets foot stuck in mouth again. Or how about this one? Silly fisherman spotted fishing on the wrong side of his boat. That could be the headline of a news article. This summer, we got a news article in our local newspaper right here at the New Sun. And the headline read, "Parent gives opinion on mask requirement at board meeting." You would think, wow, this is what the article is about. One paragraph says, parents shared some opinions. There's one quote, hey, take the masks off of our kids. It then goes on to the rest of the school board meeting. Then they hired a new track coach. Then they hired a new whoever. This new teacher, they renewed their agreement. There was one little moment that happened that grabbed the headline forever. There was this one little decision that completely stole your gaze through your whole 20s. There was this one moment that you thought was going to just reshape the whole trajectory of your life. And we need to reframe the headline. If they can write any headline that barely fits, then let's write a new headline that definitely does. And rather than forsaken, say, but not abandoned. I was struck down, but I'm not destroyed. I've been persecuted, but man, has he brought me through it all. I need to start flipping the script. I got to start thinking of a different headline of this. Man, yes, I was hurt. We were singing a song earlier, but I'm not forsaken. Oh, did I just get emotional singing that back to the Lord? I'm not forsaken. You haven't abandoned me. Yes, it's been hard. Yes, it's been painful. Yes, there's been traumatic death and loss and persecution and abuse and injustice. But God, you have not left me. And that's the piece of the article I'm going to focus on. That's where I've got to set my gaze and fix my eyes. Like the Apostle Paul, he says, I no longer am Saul. I am now Paul, and I will fix my eyes. The old things that I looked at are no longer. But now, I'm laser focused on something new. Last night, when we sat around this table with our men's group, these are men that read through the Bible in a year last year. And we spent nearly 2 hours telling each other who we are. This is who you are. Man, I'm thankful for you on this. Hey, let me tell you about this guy. I remember the first time you came to men's group, and this is how you impacted my life. We're telling stories about our grandfathers. Guys, let me tell you the number one man in my life who helped form me and shape me. We just start speaking life and validation and calling each other up. I would just encourage you, get around some rich, life-giving voices. Those old voices are just broken, and they're hijacking our thinking. All of those stories that we play into. So now let's think, how can I reclaim the story? Perhaps that headline has been hurt and loss and abandonment, but what it really is he was faithful through it all. Maybe the story has been whatever this injustice has been. Maybe it's this old broken sin pattern, but now the story is, but I'm a free man because of Christ, because he who sets me free, I'm free indeed. And then also, we need a new name. Because Mary and Robert Morrison, I'm just not afraid of him. But the Duke, when he comes walking in, and we need to tell the enemy, there's a new Duke in town. There's a new John Wayne that's coming alive inside of me. And check this out. Jesus not only changes Peter's name, but he rewrites the storyline in Acts chapter 2. Here's Peter. He just keeps hanging in the game. Acts chapter 2, verse 13. Some, however, made fun of them, and they said, they have had too much wine. Then Peter stood up with his boys. He raised his voice, and he addressed the crowd. Something shifted in Peter between knee-knocking in front of an 8-year-old girl to standing before men and women, addressing the crowd and founding the first church. Something shifted. His legacy is forever rewritten. No longer is he a man that fished on the wrong side of the boat. No longer is he the class clown. No longer is he standing on the Mount of Transfiguration, sticking his foot inside of his mouth. No longer is denying Jesus. He is leading the church. He's the spearhead of the whole deal. We go down to the bottom of Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Peter replied, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And if Peter's telling you to repent, we can say, repent today. Let's change. Let's shift. I'm going this way. I need to start going this way. I've been living this way. It's time for a new man to arise. I've been living by this name. This name no longer fits. It's time for me to step in and be this new Elton John, Jamie Foxx, Vin Diesel man that God is calling me to be. There's a new man. And today is the day of conversion. Today, the old goes, the new comes. And we're going to ask Jesus to rinse us and to wash us clean. Jesus, that you would just wash over our minds and that I would start living in to the story of forgiveness, power, might, the Holy Spirit of God. A God-centered, Christ-saturated, Spirit-filled way of life. Amen. Would you all stand with me, church family, as we close? Let's pray. Jesus, we ask you this morning, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God, that you would begin to break off those old identities, those old names that have hijacked us, those old pains that just say, I'm never going to heal from this. I'm going to hang on to you forever. Jesus, I pray that we would shake off that old blanket. I pray that we would get a name that properly fits our new reality. Jesus, I pray over every Taylor student here today. Jesus, I pray that you would break off the names that have just been tripping them up. Lord, I pray that you would set them free from addictive sin patterns. God, that they would not have to walk through that thing for the next 60 years. But today, Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you set them free. God, I pray right now, God, to set them free in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray over every man and woman that's in this place, Jesus, that you would liberate us. God, that you would just say, this no longer fits. This is not who you are. You are a son. You are a daughter of the King. And for us to begin to step into those realities. Jesus, I pray that you would shift our thinking, that you would renew our lives, that the old would go, the new would come. By the power of the Holy Spirit, do a work do a supernatural work. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.